In verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again, seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with cloud and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab took Jezebel And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. We'll leave the reading there, but I want to turn now to the Epistle of James in the New Testament. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and commencing to read at verse 16. James 5 verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Leave the reading there of God's word. So I want to really look together at this phrase in verse 16 of James 5. The second clause in verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we have before us the subject of prayer. The privilege that we have, that we can come and pray. And yet, the propensity that we each have to neglect that privilege, to not truly have faith in our prayers, and to not truly pray in faith, I mean, but to neglect this precious way of communion with the church's living head. So we have this word, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So the person we have before us is a righteous man. It says of a righteous man. The prayer, it's an effectual fervent prayer. And the profit that comes from that prayer is it availeth much. Well, let's start with the person who is praying here. A righteous man. Well, you might think, surely that does not help me much. We're altogether sinful. We come short in so many ways. We're being told that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How does that help? You see, the righteousness of the one spoken of in our text is one who is not self-righteous, but who has their righteousness in Christ. You see, the Lord's people have their righteousness not in what they have done, what they have achieved, but what Christ has done for them, and what they are by the grace of God. And this is proved by the explanation that is given later in this chapter. Elias, we have, James gives us an example of somebody who performed this text. Elias, or Elijah, who we read a short account of earlier. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, Elijah was not perfect. Elijah knew what it was to struggle against sin. He knew what it was to be unbelieving at times, and yet he was a great man of God. And that tremendous victory that he had at Mount Carmel that we read about, a great blessing it was. And yet how quickly that dear man of God fell to such a low place under the juniper tree. A man of like passions as we are. You see, this is the one described here as a righteous man. Not in themselves, not in their own estimation, but one who truly has obtained that righteousness from God. a righteous man availeth much. So we have here that Elias, it says, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It's interesting, really, we have this insight from the New Testament that is not declared in the Old. We have that Elijah said that there would not be rain, but we don't specifically read of him praying for that in the Old Testament. But here, clearly, James is telling us that it was by the prayer of Elijah that this drought for 3.5 years came to pass as a judgment on Israel and their wickedness at that time. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. Well, we read about where he prayed on Mount Carmel, telling his servant to go up and see whether there was a cloud. He knelt down and put his head between his knees, we read, and prayed earnestly that the Lord would appear and bring again that water, that vital water to water the land, so that there could once again be harvests and crops. So we have here then the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man. So a righteous one is not self-righteous. It's one who realizes that his righteousness is of God, and he comes short of the glory of God, and therefore it is one who is not proud. One who realizes, you see, if we have our own righteousness, and if we're self-righteousness, we can perhaps boast to others of how well we've done in this and that. But the righteousness of the Lord's people is in him, and their boast is in Christ. And they all declare, I nothing am, my all is bound up in the Lamb. But then the prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. This effectual fervent, they're two words in the English, but they're one word in the Greek. It comes from a single word, and it's a word like an energetic, a fervency, an activity in prayer, not just a praying, as it were, speaking some words and unconcerned as to whether they're heard or whether they are not heard. You see, when we're urgent in a matter, when we must be heard, like Jacob, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. When there is that wrestling in prayer, a realization by faith that God is able to bless us, that God has those things that we stand in need of. And as we come in prayer this night, do we have a realization that God is able to bless us? He has the words of eternal life. To whom else can we go? Well, you see, we need to realize our great need of what God has in store, what God is able to give. And you see, we read, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them that ask? What an encouragement there is to ask and to truly seek for those blessings that God alone can give. So we have the way we are to pray with a real concern, a real sincerity, a real desire. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But there may be an enlargement of the kingdom of God. There may be a blessing in our souls, that we may know what it is to have a nearness and a closer walk with God. So as we pray, we are to be fervent. We are to be sincere. We are to be, as it were, tenacious. We will not, or importunate, as it's referred to as another place. When that woman with the unjust judge, who kept on coming back, because she would not be pushed to one side. She must get a hearing. You see, it's referred to in places as taking the kingdom of God by violence. We are, as it were, unable to hold back are like blind Bartimaeus. He was told to be quiet, but what he did was shout and cry out all the stronger. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He had a need, and he cried for that need, and he was graciously supplied. Do we see that we have a need? Do we see that it is only the Lord Jesus Christ that can supply our every need? That he only can bless us eternally? That he only can do us real and lasting good? Well, this effectual, fervent prayer. And we read then that it availeth much. It is answered. Elijah's prayer was answered. There was no rain for 3.5 years. And then there was a return of rain. There was an answer. It brought the answer. God heard him to bring down the fire at Mount Carmel when that sacrifice was being offered. We think of Moses, who was such an interceder for the children of Israel. They were so undeserving. God had said to him, coming down the mount, "Let me alone and I will destroy this people." Moses interceded for them. And you see, we need intercessory prayer. We need to intercede for one another. But when we see one another perhaps fallen, one another in difficulty, one another in sadnesses, that we may truly seek the good of Zion. We may seek the good of the church of God. See it prospering. See the Lord's people growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, as we come then to this prayer meeting, may we know what it is to have, by God's grace, the effectual, fervent, that energetic prayer, not in tremendous eloquence of man's wisdom, but a sigh, a groan, or something that is known to God and is a blessing, and that God will answer those prayers because of his riches in glory. He is rich. But one might say here tonight, you said that the effectual fervent of prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is it? How is it then if I'm a sinner? How is it if I'm not in union with Christ yet? Does this shut me out? Can there be nothing for me? I would turn to Isaiah's gospel. It's called the Gospel of Isaiah sometimes. But Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah 55. Chapter 55. And those beautiful words. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. That's prayer. Coming, seeking mercy. You see, it's unconfessed sin that brings a barrier between us and God. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. It's unconfessed sin that is the barrier, not sin itself, as it were, on its own. It's unconfessed. If there's no repentance, and let him return unto the Lord, and we will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So there is to be a coming to the Saviour. And those that find Christ to be precious, that are to come and pray again, and to be encouraged to pray. We have Elijah as an example of one who had his mountaintop experiences, but he had some prayers. That I'm not better than my father, let me die. But that was not what God had intended for him. And so as we, those that have gone before us, have been imperfect, and yet they've been people who have done exploits by God's grace. Well, may we each know the Lord's help then as we draw nigh to him in prayer after our next hymn.